Amen. Go with me to the book of John. The book of John, chapter number 15. The book of John, chapter number 15. The book of John, chapter 15, verse number 1. Verse number 1. Amen. And my desire, amen, is to cover verse 1 through verse number 7, if I could. But let's just start tonight. Let's just start and take our text, amen, from verse number 1. Amen. And many of you may be wondering, amen, what in the world is going on, amen, in the back. Amen. The Lord impressed upon my heart. I believe it's from God, but we're going to build our sound room, our media area. It's going to be right here in the back. Amen. And I believe that God is doing something not just natural in this place, but supernatural. Amen. Amen. And I believe because I'm a kingdom-minded person, I believe in doing things with class. Amen. Amen. And so when we shoot our videos, we're shooting from the balcony. We're shooting at an angle. Amen. And that's just not kingdom. Amen. That's good for the screen in here, but it's not good for the world. Amen. And so we're going to set things up in a professional manner. Amen. And we're going to be shooting our video from right here at ground level. Amen. And so what you're looking at, amen, you're looking at a sound room. I know you just see wood right now, but believe me, it's going to be a sound room. Amen. Yeah, amen. 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 And so you have to have vision in order to see it. Amen. But when you come next week, amen, by the grace of God, I believe that you're going to see a completed sound room. Amen. Amen. All right. Go with me to chapter 15, verse number 1. Let us read verse number 1. Let us read it together. If we could, the book of John. And the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And another word here for husbandman is vine dresser. Amen. The vine dresser. All right. Verse number 2, and the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And what? Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Amen. And I'm going, let's just read verse 3 while we're here. The Bible says, and now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I'm preaching, I'm teaching on tonight. Amen. Preaching, teaching, talking. Amen. Or whatever you want to call it. Amen. But I'll be taking my thought from a series, amen, that we've been in, and it's called Stay Connected. Amen. Stay connected. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay connected. Amen. Stay connected. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Amen. On tonight. Amen. Let's give the First Lady a great big hand on tonight. Wave your hand, sweetheart. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Stay connected. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus says, he makes a bold statement here, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. All right. Jesus, my dear brothers and sisters, is the vine. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener who cares for the branches to make them fruitful. Please write that down. Please write that down. Amen. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener, or the owner of the gardener, who cares for the branches. And we're going to talk about who the branches are and makes them fruitful. Makes them fruitful. The branches, my dear brothers and sisters, write this down. The branches are all those who claim to be followers of Christ. The branches are all of those who claim to be followers of Christ. Might I suggest that many people carry the banner or the title Christian, but they are not Christ-like. Amen. There's a lot of people who are religious but do not have a real relationship with Jesus. And so the Bible says that that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And it's here, my dear brothers and sisters, that God allows the wheat and the tare to grow together. And we should, as the people of God, we should allow God to decide, amen, who the real Christians are and who the ain'ts are, who the saints are and who the ain'ts are, amen. All right. Who the saints are or who the sinners are, amen. Many times we can become, as the people of God, we can become judgmental. We become judgmental. And the Bible says that the branches are all those. Anybody who claims to be a Christian, anybody who claims to have accepted Jesus are the branches. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew, 18th chapter, verse number 8. The Bible says that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There are many people that honor God outwardly, but have not really received him inwardly. There are many people who honor God with their mouth, but don't honor him with their heart. But how many of you know that God can separate? He knows the very intents of the heart. That's why the Bible calls the heart deceitfully wicked. It asks the question, it says, who can know it? Because many times people sound Christ-like, but are so far from Christ that if the truth be told, you would question why in the world did they ever even mention Jesus in their mouth. And so the Bible says that people honor God with their lips. They do a whole lot of lip service. They do a whole lot of shouting in church. They do a whole lot of singing in church. They know all the hymns, all the songs. Amen. They can get with the preacher when the organ get going. They know all the religious rhetoric, but they don't have a real relationship. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, you have to make up in your mind, am I going to honor God with my lips, or am I going to go deeper and honor him with my heart? See, when you honor him with your lips, you sound good. But when you honor him with your heart, you are good. There's a difference. See, many people are more caught up on the talk instead of the walk. See, anybody can talk the talk, but not everybody can walk the walk, because we are faced with an adversary called the devil. And the devil is going to continually come in like a flood. He's going to continually come like a roaring lion. And he's going to try to devour you if he's able. But when you have more than just the talk, but when you have the walk, you can say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood be against you. You are not intimidated, or you are not caught off guard by his schemes. Why? Because I have more than the talk. I don't have to say anything, because my walk says everything that you need to know about me. And so Jesus says, many people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The book of John says this. John chapter 10, verse 5 says this in the book, in the NIV Bible, the New International Version says this. It says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the real branches that are connected to God will not listen to the devil. They're not going to listen to demonic influence. What are you saying? You have to be able to try the Spirit by the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know any spirit that is contrary to that spirit the moment that it opens his mouth. Ain't nobody talking to me in here. And so the Bible says this, it says, but they will never follow a stranger. Might I suggest, when things are hectic and topsy-turvy in your life, and you go to operating by the flesh, you're listening to the devil. And when you are with God, the enemy should be a stranger to you. When you hear his voice, you should go the other way. But many times what we do is we give in and we follow the stranger. We follow the ways that do not please God. And we follow them based on how we feel. Listen to me. God does not care if you are upset. He cares if you are obedient. He does not care if you don't like what he say. He cares if you do what he say. That's the only thing that pleases God is our obedience. It is never our talk. It's always our walk. And so the Bible says that a stranger, they will not follow. See, when you are connected to the true vine and you spend time with God, you develop how his voice sounds. You begin to know when he speaks. How is that? Because God is continually training us to hear his voice. So no matter where we find ourselves, if we could just hear the voice of God, if you would allow the voice of God to supersede every other voice in your life, you would have so much more peace. And the reason why many of us are not experiencing peace is because we are not listening to the voice of God. And anytime you listen more to the voice of the world than the voice of God, you are always going to be miserable. Upset, easily offended, easily swayed. The Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. What are you saying, Pri? I'm saying that you cannot be in tune with God when you're in tune with Basketball Wives and Atlanta Housewives. I don't even know if that's still popular, but Atlanta Housewives. You cannot be in tune with God. When you are in tune with empire. The only empire we should be consumed with is the heavenly empire. I am not going to get, I know you talking about, we're going to go watch it tonight. But that's why we listen to strangers' voices. Because we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to all truth. So anytime you're doing something that does not bring glory to God and you are not condemned in any way and you can continue doing it, then you are not in tune with God. When you watch certain things, there ought to be something that hits you and say, you don't need to be watching that. And that's why the Bible says that a stranger, they will not follow. There are so many things that is designed in this world, in this life, to cause us to be unproductive and unfruitful. And I've learned whenever you are unproductive, then you are destructive. See, an unproductive person will destroy everybody around them. Because that spirit they allowed to rub off on everybody else. Because they are not trying to do anything that will bring God glory. And so whenever it is that you want to do something that's going to bring God glory, they're going to have an issue with it because they're destructive. And you have to be careful when you find yourself not doing and not concerned and consumed the things of God, you better check yourself because you're headed for being very destructive. Let me give it to you a different way. Don't you know that what goes in is going to come out. You have to be careful what you allow in your spirit. Because if you're not careful, you will be reciting things and acting like actors who's getting paid to be in that role. And many of them, if they are not careful, they will get stuck in that role. See, there's not many people who's willing to make a real stand for the kingdom's sake. And the Bible says, it says this. It says that, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He taketh away. Why? Because when you have a branch that is not bearing fruit, that branch is infectious. And that branch can contaminate every other branch. And so the gardener knows that that branch is not producing any fruit. And that branch has some kind of issue on why it is not producing. And because of the issue, the gardener cuts it off. Why? Because the gardener cannot take a chance on the infected branch contaminating all of the other branches. And so the Bible says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. In other words, everyone who says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, ain't nothing nobody can do about it, tell me about it. God said, okay, you can keep on saying how much you love me, but I'm going to cut you off. Because I cannot allow that spirit to run through the body of Christ. See, I cannot allow you to say one thing and do another thing on a continual base. Now, I will give you room to get it together. But when you make a decision that you are not going to get it together, God say, all right, let me cut them off. It's tight, but it's right. And so, in other words, we cannot live any kind of lifestyle and think that we're going to produce fruit. And many times people are cut off and don't realize they cut off. Look at King Saul. God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint David as king while King Saul was still king. He was cut off and did not even realize it. I don't know about you, but I don't mind training my replacement. But I don't ever want to train my replacement because I'm cut off. See, there's a difference in training your replacement. So when the time comes that God is going to move you to another dimension, the one who God assigned to be there is able to take the torch and run. But then it's a whole nother thing. When you are so far from God and don't even realize it, that God got to cut you off and you don't even realize that you're training the one that God has sent to replace you. But you are so distracted and so caught up in the things of the world that you don't even realize that you've been cut off. The Bible says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or prunes it. And here we're talking about the grapevine. And the Bible says that he purgeth it, that it may do what? Oh, come on, are you with me? That it may bring forth more fruit. The fruitful branches will produce much fruit because of one reason. Because they are living in Christ. When you are living in Christ, you will produce. Let me say it again. When you are living in Christ and living for Christ, and Christ is living on the inside of you, you will produce fruit. And what I love about God is, what he does is, even if you are not producing a whole lot of fruit, but you're just producing a little bit of fruit, he'll start to prune you. He'll start to trim your branch. He'll start to cut back some of your leaves so that you can produce much fruit. It is the desire of God that you produce much fruit. The Bible says that by your fruit, they shall what? Know you. So what kind of fruit are you producing that people are able to recognize you? Or better yet, are able to recognize the God in you? See, our fruit should be produced in a manner that they could see God in us. See, you know that you're producing fruit when people can see your good works and then glorify your Father in heaven. What are you saying? When what you do brings glory to God, that causes people to glorify God. But is what you doing, is it glorifying God or is it glorifying you? And the unfruitful branches are those who were, watch this, with Christ and turned back because they made a superficial commitment to follow him. You know, many of us, we make this superficial commitment. We come down because the word moved us. Or if it wasn't the word, the organ or the singing, something moved us. And we come down with tears in our eyes and hands lifted and we cry and we give our lives to the Lord and we join the church and then we never see you again. That's because you were looking for something temporary to fix a permanent issue. The only way you're going to fix a permanent issue is with a permanent or definite solution. And so, because you had a feeling, you made a superficial commitment to follow him. But then it became so easy. By the time you left and before you even got to your car, you allowed the devil to jump on you. And before you could even get in your car good and call somebody and tell them about what God did for you, here come Pookie calling you. Here comes Susie Smith calling you. Talking about things that God just delivered you from. And you don't have any fight in you because you made a superficial commitment. And so now you're leaving church, going to somebody's house who you shouldn't be going to. It ain't got to be your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It could be some of your family members. Some places, as becoming a Christian, some things should even be named among you. There are some things that you should not do. And if you do it, you should be so convicted. You should be so brokenhearted that you say, God, if you strengthen me again, I promise I will never do that again. Why? Because it means something to me to please God. See, the difference between a sinner and a saint, and this is why saints are not sinners. What are you saying, Pastor, that because I accepted Jesus, I'm never going to sin? No, I'm not saying that, because none of us are perfect, but we're all striving for perfection. But the difference is that when I have accepted Christ, I don't practice sin. Don't mean I won't make a mistake, but I don't practice that. See, a sinner practices sin with no conscience. See, the things that I used to do, now that I have been with Jesus, I'm not able to do any longer. Is there anybody here that can testify? I know this is a tight teaching, but is there anybody that can testify the things I used to do, I just don't do no more? And I don't do it because I don't like it. I don't do it because after I got with Jesus and I tried to do it, it just didn't feel right no more. I mean, I couldn't do it with the same peace that I once did it with before. And so, superficial, if you didn't get the definition, write this down. Superficial is existing or occurring at or on the surface, appearing to be true or real only until examined more closely. If somebody took a closer look at you and started examining you more carefully, I heard one preacher say it like this. If you were charged with being a Christian and you went to court, could you be convicted on it? Would they have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? If you were before the judge and the prosecutor, could the prosecution come up with enough evidence against you to determine that you are in fact a Christian? Does your life say, I am a Christian? Or do your mouth say it? So superficial means to accept him on the surface, but never really allow Jesus to penetrate your heart. See, when he penetrates your heart, he changes your mind. See, if you ever want a person to change their mind, change their heart. Because if the heart change, everything else will change. Everything else about an individual will change once the heart change. And see, so many times we're looking at solutions to fixing the community and schools and churches and everything else. The true solution is you need someone who's able to change their heart. And I don't mean a slick-talking preacher or a loud-mouth-talking or a good preaching preacher. I don't mean that. That's good, but that's not going to be good enough. Because after the sermon, after the organ, if you have not deposited something that is able to keep someone's heart, then the only thing you did was made a bunch of good noise. And in some cases, bad noise. And so is Jesus and him crucified and him raised from the dead with all power in his hand. That's what changes hearts. That's what changes minds. I preach Christ and him crucified. Anything else I claim to know nothing about. Because that is the only thing that can raise somebody, knowing that Jesus has been raised already for that thing that you're struggling with. Those anger issues, Jesus has been raised from the dead and paid the price for anger issues. He paid for anger on the cross. In any other issue that you have, he paid for it on the cross. And so by his stripes, we are. It happened on the cross. So you don't have to walk around condemned or under condemnation. That there's no condemnation if you are in Christ. Girl, man, let me tell you, he will take your past and he will make it into a heck of a testimony. And the whole world will pay to hear your testimony. And here it is, you're ashamed of it. You ought to be shouting about how God delivered you from it. Quit allowing the devil to hold it over your head and making you feel condemned. God delivered you from all of that stuff. And who the Son set free. I feel like I'm preaching right there. All right. All right. So write this down. I got about three, four more minutes now, and I have to let you go. Amen. Bro Max, I told him that the old saints, when they started getting along, they said, keep preaching, preacher. The new saints say, Pastor, you got about five more minutes. You're going to have to help me next week. Amen. All right. So Jesus makes a distinct difference between the two kinds of pruning, the cutting off and the cutting back. Amen. He cuts off the branches that do not produce fruit. He cut them off at the trunk. Not only because they are worthless, but also because they are often infected and often infect the rest of the tree. Those that produce fruit, he cuts them back. Amen. Because fruitful branches are cut back to promote growth. See, some things God is cutting back off of you so that you can grow. See, some of us, the only thing that is hindering us is that we just have not grown. And see, that's what the Bible says, don't judge anything before it's time. See, sometimes you can judge something and it just have not matured yet. But it's producing a little bit of fruit. So take it and work with it. Don't condemn it. Don't cut it off. At least it is producing. See, an effective gardener knows how to take the thing that's producing a little bit and cultivate it to make it produce a lot. See, many times as Christians, we get frustrated because we try to cook the fish before we catch the fish. And we wonder why the fish cannot get in the pan. Here it is, you've gotten the cooking oil together, the fire together, but you do not have a fish. Why not catch the fish first so that you can prepare the fish, then prepare the fire to cook the fish? So in other words, sometimes you have to be patient with people. And see, what God does is he knows how to cut things back. See, some of you're doing a whole lot better because you used to spend 10 hours on Facebook. Now you're only spending 6. Or you used to watch all 3 episodes of Empire. Now you only watch 1. The Lord is working with you. He's working with you. Amen. Amen. You producing some fruit. And so he's trying to cut some things back off of you so that you can become more mature, so that you don't get bent out of shape over every little thing. You realize that some things are not important. So I'm not going to major the minor things and then minor the major things. Some of us, we just so backwards because we take and make a big deal over something little. And then we don't say anything at all about something big. And this is where I criticize the body of Christ sometimes, because on issues that we ought to stand up and speak up on, we don't. We sit here. But the issues that we should speak upon, we don't. The things that we shouldn't say anything about, here we are, the loudest one in the crowd. Some issues don't concern us. And then other issues, because we are the salt of the earth, they are very important to us. Same-sex marriage, that's very important to us. Very important to us. Anytime someone wants to redefine what God instituted from the beginning as marriage, that should be very important to us. What somebody's wearing shouldn't be important at all. Some of us come to church to see what so-and-so is wearing today. Maybe I'm in the wrong church. I mean, the church across the street does that. Not this one. All right. Let me give you this. Real quick, how to stay connected. How to stay connected. All right. The Bible says, abide, verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. See, the branch cannot produce if it's not connected to the vine. And we cannot produce fruit if we are not connected to Jesus. See, some of us, we mistaken producing rotten fruit as producing fruit. Rotten fruit is, no, who wants to eat it? It's just as equivalent as not producing any fruit because it's not edible. Amen? It's not for human consumption. Amen? And so the Bible says that if we do not abide in Jesus, then we cannot bear fruit. Abide, it's in the New Testament, so it's in the Greek. And abide in the Greek comes from the word meno. Meno. M-E-N-O. Meno. Say that, meno. All right. Write this definition down for abide. Abide means to stay, in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry, stay. Abide. Somebody shout abide. Abide means to remain, to stay, to endure. And that's why the Bible says endure hardness as a what? Good soldier. If you're going to stay in Christ, you're going to have to be able to have some endurance. You cannot allow life to wear you out. You have to be strong enough to be able to, when life presents itself, cast your cares on the one who cares for you. And be strong enough and willing to endure to the end. That's how you abide. That's how you remain. Chapter 14, the book of John. Write this down real quick. John chapter 14, verse 21. It says this. Whosoever has my command, and this is the NIV Bible. It says, whosoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Maybe your version say, they that love me keeps my commandments. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. How many of you want God to show himself to you? Show himself strong in your life and his glory just fall on you. Everywhere you go, his power and presence and authority is right there with you. I dare somebody to shout, Lord, wherever I go, I want you to be right there with me. If I go up, God go with me. If I get knocked down, God stay with me. Because as long as you are with me. And so whoever has my words and keeps them, that is who loves me. Don't matter how much you say you love him, are you obedient to what his word says? Matthew, this is how you stay in Christ. This is how you abide in him. This is how you stand in him. This is how you remain in him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says this. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So if you're going to stay in Christ, then you're going to have to live a selfless life. You're going to have to be willing to deny yourself. You're going to have to be willing to deny your flesh if you're going to remain in him. Why? Because no good thing dwells in the flesh. And to be spiritually minded is life. But to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. But to finish the scripture says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so when you are in him, not only do you have life, but you also have peace. And peace comes from God. See, happiness is predicated on, based on how you feel. And that's why the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It don't matter how I feel, I'm going to still be at peace with God. It does not matter what's going on, I'm going to still have my peace. Because the world didn't give me this peace, and the world cannot take this peace away. This peace came from me having a personal relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody here that has a real relationship with him, that have experienced some trials and experienced some situations and experienced some afflictions to your body, but yet you still have your joy? Yet even though in the midst of your pain, you can still give God all the glory and lift up the name of Jesus. I wish I had a real church in here. I wish I had some real saints in here that could testify, in spite of it all, God's been good to me. I've had some good days and I've had some bad days, but my good days outweigh my bad. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Yeah. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and then follow me. Whatever life has thrown at you, take it up and follow him. But pastor, you just don't know what life has done to me. Well, listen to me. The word says that he would never put more on you than what you could handle. So it does not matter, amen, what family you were born into. It does not matter who left you. It does not matter who does not like you. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Stop complaining about everything that is going on wrong and look at the one who knows how to do everything right. The one that I serve can do all but fail. All right, I better stop there. All right. Amen. But do me a favor and look at somebody and say, neighbor, oh, that was weak. Amen. I preach better than that tonight. Amen. Look at somebody and say, neighbor. Say it like you mean. Say, neighbor, whatever you do, stay connected to Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand. Amen. Give me something soft there. Amen. 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 Stay connected. Amen. Stay connected. Amen. Amen. We're going to pick up, amen, in verse 5. Amen. Next week. Amen. And I'm going to finish this series on next week. You know, sometimes it's, sometimes it's difficult to preach series. Sometimes. Especially when they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because see, the flesh say, no, let's teach this. But the Holy Spirit say, no, we're gonna teach that. Amen. And so but believe it or not, amen. I've really been spending a lot of time with the Lord. Amen. To deliver what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And experiencing a multiplicity of attacks, spiritual attacks. Amen, because, amen, the enemy will do all that he can to get you off of the assignment that God has put you on, amen. And believe it or not, I've tried to get off of this series several times, but the Lord would not let me, amen. And so I'm telling you, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is a series that has been inspired by God, amen. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer is that you would take this word and that you would allow it to grow roots in your heart. Amen. And that we would become fruitful. Amen. People of God, I am only a messenger. I only give what God gives me. Amen. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anyone in. Amen. And so my will is to please the one who sent me. To do the will of the one who entrusted me with this word and this work. Amen. And so please know this, is that more than anybody, amen, I want to see the people that I pastor, I want to see you prosper. Amen. I want to see you blessed. Amen. I want to see you produce much fruit. Come on, finance team. Come on. If I can have the finance team to come. Amen. I want to see you produce much fruit. Amen. And that's my desire, amen, to see you produce. Amen. And so my job is to equip you with everything necessary, amen, for you to succeed, for you to be successful, and for you to be full of fruit, of good fruit. Amen. 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 Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's greatness on the inside of you. Amen. There's greatness on the inside of you. There's greatness. I mean, how many of you believe that? Amen. How many of you believe there's greatness on the inside of you? Amen. 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 Whenever we believe something, we ought to respond like we believe. Amen. We should respond like it. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask tonight, amen, if you need to upload, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask this, amen. I'm going to ask if you would sow generously, amen.